Episode 112 of the podcast. I'm seeing a bunch of New Year's resolutions. I've seen a few by groomers who are including learning more about handling behavior problems, and that's great news. I'm also seeing some by owners who are working on having a better year with their dog. Also great news. So tune in this week and we'll talk about some of the ways that we can start fresh.
You're listening to the Creating Great Grooming Dogs podcast. I'm Chrissy Neumeyer-Smith. I'm a certified professional groomer, a certified behavior consultant for canines, a certified professional dog trainer, and the owner of Happy Critters in Nashua, New Hampshire. And this, my friends and colleagues, is the podcast where grooming and training meet.
In the first part, I want to talk about the owners, because you know what? We all deal with owners, but most of us have dogs of our own. And I want you to think about the handling is a super important part of having a dog. And it can be hard to be patient with our own dogs. So let's use this moment to take a look at what our customers might be going through and what some of us go through, whether that be with a brand new dog that we have, or maybe a dog that is now getting older and having some issues. But handling is super important. And it can be really hard to be patient with your own dog. We know their history, we know their backstory, their day-to-day life, and it can really break your heart when your own dog has a struggle with something, doesn't trust you to do something. Maybe that's checking a sore spot. Maybe that's picking them up. Maybe that's applying a cream, giving a pill, clipping nails, brushing, drying, using clippers. I mean, many of these things are things that owners do too, and owners have trouble with. And then that, of course, relates to the dog at the vet, the dog with the groomer, the dog anywhere else. But some of us find that problem with our own dogs also. And we need to think about that. Think about that. How much it really hurts your feelings. It can break your heart. Like, why isn't this dog trusting me to do this? Now, sure, it's easy to push through it, right? It's so common. It's me, you goofball. Knock it off. I need to do this. And I know I've been there, like, hey, dude, it's just me. Come on. I'm your buddy, right? This is the dog you snuggle with. It's really easy to see that, you know, why won't you just let me do the thing? And here's another one. It can really piss you off that the dog that lives with you isn't letting you do something. I don't know about you, but I've been there. Right? You're like, oh my God. No, this is unacceptable. You have to let me do this. You are not going to become that dog that won't let people do whatever, right? I've been there. I did not always groom and train the way that I do today. And I can totally feel for the person who's like, no, I am going to push this. You will let me do this, right? Take a deep breath. Because I understand where they're coming from. Dude, if you want to eat again in your entire life, you're going to knock it off and let me do this. But here's the thing. Pushing through isn't helping a dog to be calm, comfortable, and cooperative. Right? We know that. And the times that it does work are few and far between. So what I'm going to say is that we need to think about what the dog is doing, why they're doing it. Now, there is another scenario for the dogs that we live with, whether that be us stepping into the shoes of the owner who has a dog that's having some problems, or our own dogs. And here's another scenario. That's the dog that we adopted or rescued or acquired with a hard past, a questionable past, or a completely unknown past. And we feel so sorry for that poor pup, right? We feel sorry. We back off at the slightest signs of stress, or this one's really common too. You try to get them used to something, and I don't know. He looks a little bit scared. No, stop. He's had such a tough life. He's had such a hard life already. Stop, don't make him do that. Now, I know I am kind of making light of that, but we'll talk about that in a second. Truth be told, it's one of the most common ones with owners. Owners aren't usually the ones who are like, oh, no, 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 we need to address this right now, right this very instant. You don't get to treat me like that, right? Most of our owners are the, oh, his past, right? And it's incredibly common. It's not particularly common with those of us who work with dogs, right? Because we're like, oh, I can see the importance of why a dog needs to learn how to handle things. I'm going to give you an example here. I was a vet tech for a while, and I remember one particular dog coming in. He had been injured, and we were waiting for the surgeon to get there. And we put this dog in a crate, and from the very second we put this dog in the crate, it was clear he could not be crated. He was ready to hurt himself to get out of there, and we ended up with a staff member holding this dog on leash in an exam room until the surgeon got there. That's maladaptive, right? I mean, I can understand why someone thought, oh, the poor dog, I'm never going to make him learn about crates. He doesn't need to know that. And he lives in a nice home now, and we don't use a crate. But through a professional point of view, learning how to be in a crate is a really important life skill for that weird time when maybe something happens and you need to be in an animal hospital waiting for a surgeon. So, like, I think as professionals, as dog professionals, we're far more likely to say, I understand why a dog would need to slowly get more comfortable with things that they might think are uncomfortable. All right. So now that we've said that, what approach are we going to use for all of those scenarios? And this is one of the few times I'm going to say, like, any scenario, let's start here. Usually I'm talking about, like, it's very individual. You know, think about what the individual is doing. But right now, let's just focus on, let's start here. You have a dog, your own dog, or you're in your owner's shoes, imagining what they're going through at their house. And we're going to start here and say, okay, what approach can we follow with all of these scenarios? And it's time to gather clues. That's the approach. This is the moment when we start gathering our clues. When is the dog calm, comfortable, and cooperative? And if your dog is not yet calm, comfortable, cooperative with anything, that's your starting point. Okay, for training purposes. If this is a medical emergency, that's different. But if we are trying to help this dog be better for the things that are going to need to be done for handling and for care, then this is your starting point. We have to start with calm, comfortable, and cooperative. And then we gather our clues about when this dog is calm, comfortable, and cooperative and when it stops. When does the change happen? Is it when a tool comes out? Is it when you reach your arm over them to hold around them? Is it the particular sound? What is it? What is that moment when they go from calm, comfortable, cooperative to something different? Is it when you look at them like, ooh, that dog is looking really muddy? I'll tell you what, my dogs and my cats knew too, back when I had kitties who have since died of old age. They had very great lives. Anyway, the dogs in my past have somehow always spotted it when I suddenly looked at them like a grooming project. Something in my eyes changes from, I love you, my sweetie, to, ooh, I could trim that, or ooh, that needs to be cleaned. So, like, when do we notice the dog change? Because that's the clue that we need about where we would start teaching them how to be calm, comfortable, and cooperative for whatever it is they are reacting to or responding to. That's the clue. So I want you to think about when they're calm, comfortable, and cooperative, and when it changes. Now, the next part, what is exactly happening when that change starts? Not what you were doing. That could be what the change is. It could be what you're holding. It could be the sound of the thing that you're using. What is happening in that moment? What's the whole picture? The whole picture. It might be that this dog is really afraid of being bathed, or it might be that this dog is uncomfortable standing in a slippery bathtub versus a bathtub with a mat in the bottom, right? I want you to really think about these clues. Is it the dog hates it when you bathe them? Or is it that the dog is slipping around in a bathtub? Is it the dog hates it when you do something? You know, and again, hates it. What does that mean? What are you observing? What do you see? And to step back from the emotion of it, step back from the feeling and the, you know, this dog isn't comfortable with me and what does that mean? Like, no. This is something happening that the dog is uncomfortable with. And the dog is having a hard time, not giving you a hard time. And I know I've said that a lot, but that's an important thing for us to remember. And especially if you direct customers to this episode, the dog is having a hard time. When does that start? When did they go from, oh, hi, Mom, I'm hanging out with you on the sofa, to that little clue that they're now no longer comfortable? When does it change? And what does the dog do once it changes? Like, where's that little glimmer when you notice a change? Is it they stiffen? Is it that they stiffen and try to walk away? Do they air snap? Do they try to bite? Do they growl? Do they scream? You know, usually if they're like barking, growling, or screaming, there was some little step before that that you can kind of start to train your eye to see. Like, where did it start? And to watch for it. Like, all right, what is my signal that this dog is now no longer calm, comfortable, and cooperative? And why is calm, comfortable, and cooperative important? Again, if you haven't listened to the show before, or this is the episode where you're sending your customers to, calm, comfortable, and cooperative is the goal, because it is the opposite of fear, stress, anxiety, and discomfort, right? It's easier for us to spot if a dog is calm, comfortable, and cooperative or not than it is to watch a dog and say, well, he's breathing a little heavy, but I'm not sure if it's stress. You know kind of innately if your dog seems comfortable or not. Like, most owners really do know that. And I'm saying this from many, many years of asking customers what they're doing or what they saw. Like, you know, like, okay, did he seem comfortable? And I ask people that and they're like, oh, no, he didn't seem comfortable. Okay, because a second ago you said he didn't seem stressed. So if we look back, like, all right, yeah, I can spot comfortable. Was he cooperative? Well, he was kind of wiggling away from me. Well, then I wouldn't call that a cooperative, right? If you ask somebody, is he uncooperative? Well, he was pulling a little bit, but not as hard as he could, right? It's so much easier to spot it if it's deviated from the normal happy-go-lucky dog that they're used to, okay? Calm, comfortable is another one. Comfortable is important to watch for. Most people can kind of guess if their dog is comfortable or not. All right, and that might be the moment the dog stiffens, like, oh, I don't know, wait. Or if a dog yelps, or if they know that their dog has some sort of an injury or a soreness, people know that. So if I were to say, is your dog comfortable? Or maybe he's not calm, comfortable, and cooperative. Maybe he's calm and cooperative, but is being treated for something right now, and that's what he's uncomfortable with. Right? I mean, certainly if we're putting on an ointment, you know, an example, an eye ointment, it's probably because that eye is uncomfortable, right? Let's just think about that. But we need to know that so that we can help this dog be more comfortable with the process that is happening. Even if they're experiencing physical discomfort, they can feel emotionally comfortable with the process. I know we're getting a little wishy-washy here, right? Emotionally comfortable. But to evaluate, is this dog calm, comfortable, and cooperative or not? When did it change? That's our clue. That gives us the idea of where we're going to start working on something, right? What the real problem is. Because the real problem isn't necessarily what we think it is. Have to step back. Have to step back and take a closer look. Now, I will tell you from many, many years of asking people, what have you tried? Because we'll talk about that in the next part when we're talking about to customers. What have you tried? After many, many years of asking people, what have you tried, and listening to their answers, I'm now at a point in my career where we play a little game where I'm like, all right, guys, I'm going to play a little game with you. And I do this during like a phone consult. You tell me the problem you're having, and I'm going to try to guess what you've tried. And I'm usually pretty close to dead on. Most of the time I'm dead on. Most of the time they're like, how did you know that? Because there are lots of things that we commonly try that make it worse. There's a cause and effect for everything. And sometimes it is so, so normal for an owner to try something that is not going to work. So look at the clues that the dog is giving, which in many of those cases, when I talk to the owners about what's really happening, they kind of knew what was really happening, but they didn't know how to spot it on their own because they didn't know to look for when the dog is calm, comfortable, and cooperative. They didn't know to watch for the change from calm, comfortable, and cooperative. And they didn't know to step back from the emotion of it and the feeling of, does my dog trust me or not? And just look at the behavior in front of them so that you can figure out precisely what this dog is responding to so that we can help them handle it better. Because the dog is having a hard time. The dog is not giving you a hard time. So help the dog feel comfortable with something and think about, is it something that needs to be done absolutely right now, emergency medicine? Or is this something that we have a little bit of time to help the dog be comfortable, to help the dog calm down, to try to get the dog to cooperate with us? Now, for the groomers who are thinking about a New Year's resolution, or any other pet professionals thinking about a New Year's resolution about dealing with these dogs that just are not good for grooming, or not good for handling, or not good for the vet, it's time for us to start taking behavior really seriously. And sometimes that starts with us making it a priority in our business to always address behavior, to not let it just fade by, okay? Now, one of the ways that we can do that is to directly ask customers, what are you doing at home? Find out. Maybe they've accidentally made this process harder. Maybe they've accidentally taught their dog something that we do not want, right? So find out, ask them. Also, here's another question you can ask them. How are you working on this? How are you working on this? Ask them. You know why? Because it's going to be very, very telling. What's going to happen is you're going to have customers who say, oh, well, we've talked to my brother's neighbor's mother-in-law's great uncle who said that we should do this, 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 even though you gave them things to do. They're going to come up with some answers, or they're going to tell you that, nope, I don't want to do anything about it. No, that's your job. You're the groomer. I'm not going to work on it. Or that's why we came to the vet, so that we don't have to work on it. It's not my job. We need to know that so that we can tell them, oh, no. This doesn't get resolved like every 6 months when you bring them in for a grooming, because it's usually not your customer who comes in every 4 weeks, right? Sometimes it is, but to let them know, no, this doesn't get resolved just during grooming, right? Are these the parents who send their kids to school and they're like, don't tell us what he does at school. That's your job. So he's beating kids up at school. Not my problem. He's at school, right? You can use these examples with owners because they are the ones who have a dog with a behavior issue. And we would like to help them. We would like to help teach their dog to be safe for us, to cooperate with our process, to not get hurt during grooming. But I want you to think about getting the owners on board. That is super important. And don't ask them, hey, do you think maybe you could try do this, this, this? I want you to be a little bit more assertive than that. Like, don't ask them, I'm thinking maybe you could talk to a trainer, or did you talk to your trainer about it? Like, be more assertive. You need to talk to your trainer about this. Or I'm sending you home with some stuff to work on. I think this is going to be really, really important so that I can do the pretty trim that you want eventually when your dog can handle it. We talked before about safety policy and explaining to owners, like, there is a safety risk when a dog is jumping around. It's not just if a dog is going to bite us. And that's really important and key for owners to know. They think, oh, my dog would never bite you, so everything's fine. You know, like, that's not how this works at all. So if we talk to the owners about, listen, this is a safety risk. It's a risk for me. It's a risk for your dog. I'm using sharp objects next to your dog's eye, like 1 millimeter off, and your dog is hurt. 1 millimeter off, and I'm hurt, right? So behavior is going to be really, really important. And this is how we proceed if you want to continue to work with me. And it's okay to be assertive. Take control of this, guys. You don't need to be angry at people, but you need to be, like, very direct and professional. This is the way we handle it. And I want you to think about the way that you talk to owners about mats. I cannot give you the trim that you would like today because this dog clearly hasn't been brushed at all. Let me show you what matting is. Let me show you how long it would take for these tools to take that all out. And this is what I suggest. Now, if you do want this matted dog to have that trim that you like, you can go home and continue some brushing, right? We do it with mats, but we don't do it with behavior. The same kind of direct, assertive, I'm here to help you, but I need you to be realistic. Be realistic. We have a job to do, and you brought in a dog who can't do that right now. And maybe, you know, in the case of matting, it's you brought in a dog with a coat that can't do that right now. Or maybe it's the behavior where we can't get that done today. And we're not going to try. We're not going to try, right? So for every groomer who sees a matted dog and they're like, seven it is, right? And if you're not a groomer, that means the seven blade. It's the, I'm just going to take it all off, right? Use that same kind of direct, this is what has to be done today, and tell them, like, I'm going to have to work on this behavior before I can work on beautiful trims. And here are some strategies that I have for you. And, you know, not to get into every single strategy, but let me give you a couple. One of those strategies could be, let's do a little bit of the grooming today, but not even plan on doing the entire groom today. What? I know, crazy. But it's sort of like the take a seven blade to it version of a behavior problem solution where, okay, well, come on in. The most important thing right now for this dog is what? Right? And maybe it is the bath. Maybe it is brushing out some tangles. And most of these dogs that have a behavior issue, it's particularly one or two things. So sometimes we can get the other stuff done and work a little bit on the thing that they have an issue with, the thing that they have a problem with. Sometimes it's going to be all of it because this dog is just a nervous wreck in general. And they brought it in thinking, you know, oh, well, he doesn't like strangers, but surely he'll love to have strangers put him in a bathtub and put clippers next to his eyes. I mean, you know. What dog wouldn't love that? So we need to think about the process and what this particular dog can handle and trying to keep that dog within their comfort zone as best we can. Remember, we're talking about calm, comfortable, and cooperative, and we're going to try to help that dog feel safe through whatever process we're going to do. And don't worry about getting it done. Don't worry about getting it done any more than you worry about making a golden doodle look like the picture they sent you if he's totally matted. You already told them that's not what we're going to be able to do today. Now, you can offer options just like you would with the matted poodle, right? Okay, so maybe I go and we start doing some brushing today. However, my hands-on time is worth money. So it's not going to be the regular price, and I'm not going to spend 6 hours on your dog today because we actually booked other dogs today, so we don't even have 6 hours available to demat your dog today. But we can do 2 hours worth of just brushing your dog, and you can bring them back and keep working on it. We do that with matting. We can do it with behavior. Like, yeah, we're not going to get that done today. Right? Like, that doesn't just happen like, oh, never mind. If you know anybody with a phobia, like somebody who's truly terrified of spiders, like, you're not going to resolve that this afternoon. Right? You don't put them in your book for Monday and like, well, if they drop off at 8, we'll have her totally fine with spiders by the time you pick up at 4. Sure. Yeah. We'll just work around it. You know, we're going to drop her in a room full of spiders. She's going to be fine. So I want you to think about that. We have to express this to owners, because if we don't, they don't understand. And along with seeing lots of groomers posting things about New Year's resolutions, one of the things that I do to come up with episodes of the show is I look through what groomers complain about, right? Because we do, we complain. And one of the things that groomers are always complaining about come down to things where they just didn't explain it well to a customer, right? And often the frustration is, I shouldn't have to explain that. My God, you're a dog owner. How do you guys function? You know, like, do you just put food down? Like, I don't understand. But remember that owners don't get it. So we need to talk to them. We need to help them understand, right? Like, okay, you brought in a dog that you know has a behavior problem. You brought in a dog that you know is worried about having people touch it. Like, 'cause that's part of why you ask. How are you? What are you working on at home? How are you working on this at home? Because if they're like, oh, well, we're still working on like walking past people out in the field, and like we're working now at like 50 feet away, but they brought them to a groomer. Really? You know, like, oh, the dog's going to have an easy time with that. 50 feet away is his reaction zone to strangers, but he's going to be fine with strangers in a grooming shop. So we need to point it out. They don't understand unless we do. So take a deep breath, calm down, and think about that from their point of view, and just relax and try not to be judgy about it. Even if later on you just want to like scream in the air, like, what the heck? But like, tell them what they don't know. And it's okay. One of the things that I tell people all the time is like, hey, I wasn't born knowing this. And I don't want you to have to start off where I did. So, you know, we all learn from someone who knows a little bit more than we do, right? Don't worry about it. Now that you know, now we can work on it. So talk to people. And that should be this part of your New Year's resolution about, hey, I'm going to start taking behavior really seriously, which is be more assertive about it. Oh, no, you don't get the trim that you wanted on top of a behavior problem any more than you get the trim you wanted on top of a dog that is matted, right? Or a dog who simply doesn't have the coat for that trim. That's probably even another good example, because there are plenty of dogs that behaviorally are never going to be totally comfortable with all of the stuff that we do, right? Think about like the dogs that you see in the grooming ring. Right? When they're competing and they're grooming, do most of our dogs have that kind of coat? No, not really. Like, how many Westies do we see that really couldn't be in a really gorgeous Westie trim? Like, you would have to really pull out some hairspray and some mousse, and like, you'd have to do some really, really neat trickery to get them to look like a show Westie for an afternoon, and then they're going to go home and it's all going to flop down into that wispy coat that Westies aren't supposed to have, right? We all have something that we've seen where we're like, yeah, that dog cannot meet that gorgeous look. So think about it with training stuff, right? Some dogs are not going to be that dog that can handle a whole lot. And we can modify for them. Sure, we can. We can modify for them. That might be the dog that we always take their ears really short instead of letting them have a long ear that their owner like fights with them about brushing. We can totally bypass that. Like, fine, owner can't brush it. They just get into fights together. It's causing more and more problems. Can I talk you into a short ear? Right? We can look at the behavior and start telling owners, hard pass, you don't get what you want. You don't get what you want. And along with going home and picking up a brush, you should be going home and trying some of the things that we ask you to do. because, and here's the hard part, groomers, because we don't have to take everybody. We can replace that person with a person who's willing to work with us and keep our safety in mind and keep the dog's safety in mind, because behavior problems are when dogs get hurt, people get hurt, equipment gets broken. And let's face it, a dog that gets hurt with mass media and social media could totally destroy your business. Totally destroy your business in one fell swoop. A dog bites a clipper, nicks its tongue, and next thing you know, you're trying to figure out what you want to do as your next career. So they won't care that the dog bit it. They won't care at all. So be thinking about behavior and saying to people, like, listen, this is really important. I want you to know why it's really important. I want to help you to get your dog past this, to help your dog to be acclimated to being groomed. And I'm willing to work with, you know, collaborate with trainers and your vet, whoever you need to see, whoever I want to send you to, or whoever else you're working with, and help your dog be better for this. And if not, no, this isn't a public school where your kid is entitled to an education. Like, no, no. This is a private business. I'm not a firefighter taking your house, putting the fire out. Like, no, 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 no. This is a private business. I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to deal with that. My safety is important. And the safety of the dogs that I take care of is important. And I'll work with owners, and that's great. We'll work on it and work on it and work on it. But if an owner doesn't want to work on it, I'm sorry. I'm not going to work with you. So think about that as part of your New Year's resolution. Like, there is going to have to be a time when you're like, no, no. If you are unwilling to work on this, then I'm not going to be able to be putting you in my schedule. I'm terribly sorry. Maybe you'll find a groomer who isn't yet at the point where they're taking safety that seriously. But no, I'm not going to do it. So I know I filled you guys with a lot of stuff this week. This one actually dragged on longer. But New Year's resolutions are really important. And if you send some of your like owners to the first part of this, I mean, they can listen to the whole episode. They can listen to the whole podcast. But if you send them to that first part to help them kind of understand, like, oh, right, I want my dog to be comfortable with it. That's going to be important. Yeah, that's really important, because eventually you're going to have something your dog isn't comfortable with, but we can build them up and help them be good to deal with the things that we need to do. And grooming is this lifelong process. They're always going to need some grooming. Always. So we should be helping owners understand that, right? For a dog that's going to live to be 15 years old, there's a lot of grooming appointments in there. And they can learn how to be good. And it's not necessarily just the groomer's job to do it. Not my job. Well, it is my job because I take it on as my job. But that's because I'm doing the behavior part too. So when I take on that role of dealing with a dog who has a behavior issue, part of my job is making sure that the owners know what we're doing and what our steps are and what they're working on at home. So happy New Year, everybody. It's going to be a great year. 2021. Yay. We're going to get through this. All right. Happy New Year.
If you'd like more information, you can find me at chrissy@happycritters.net, happycrittersdogtraining.com, or you can join the Facebook group, Creating Great Grooming Dogs podcast, or the Facebook page, Creating Great Grooming Dogs. I really look forward to hearing from you.